So the obvious first question for the man who has saved thousands of young lives and is recognized around the world is, Dr. Carson, why retirement now?
Somebody told me that neurosurgeons die early, and I didn't believe it. So I wrote down the names of the 10 last neurosurgeons I knew who died, and I calculated the average age of death, and it was 61. And I'm 61 now. And I said, you know what? I don't want to die in this saddle.
But you say there are also some important things that need to be done out there.
We need to get our populace educated in this country.
Can I get a visual on that?
I'm sure you've seen some of the segments on the Jay Leno show, jaywalking, and how little people actually know.
What are the first three words of the Constitution?
In the beginning.
What is the First Amendment?
Don't cheat on your wife.
Don't cheat on your wife.
It's virtually impossible for people to make important decisions when their knowledge base is so small. We've lost common knowledge.
More on that later. First, let's talk about some of those nearly 17,000 operations you have performed, including the one that got you the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President George W. Bush, the separation of the conjoined twins. Is that your top accomplishment?
Not really. I always say the last operation I did is at the top of my list, because it doesn't have to be a big newsworthy thing. But for that family, it's the greatest thing in the world. And I just feel privileged, and I tell the residents all the time what incredible privilege it is to be placed in people's lives, to take the most important thing they have, and they trust you with it, and to give it back to them in an enhanced form. Nothing beats that.
Obviously, the one that stands out is the conjoined twins. Those conjoined twins are 20-somethings now, if I calculate correctly.
Well, you know, there have actually been several sets of conjoined twins, but the very first ones, the Bender twins, yes, would be in their 20s now. And they were joined at the back of the head, something we call occipital craniopagus. That's the most complex type. And that was the first and only time that such twins have ever been separated and survived.
So the plan now is for you to spend a lot more time with your wife, Candy, at your Florida home, and of course with the family.
Well, you know, I had three sons, and none of them went into medicine because they all thought I worked too hard, which was true. I did work too hard, because there was a 12-year period where I was pediatric neurosurgery. I did everything 24/7. And part of that was during the time when they were growing up, so I can understand that completely.
Let's meet the boys.
My oldest son, Murray, is an engineer. My middle son, BJ, who always loved to handle money, he was the treasurer at everything at McDonough. He is now vice president of a financial firm and heads up their investment banking division. And my youngest son, Royce, is an accountant.
And Candy still stays very active in the scholarship as well as, is she still performing?
Yes, for the Medical Musical Group. This is a national organization comprised of a lot of people in medicine. And they put on concerts, so they're going to be putting on a concert shortly, and she's very heavily involved in that. She got a new orchestra started at Johns Hopkins this year at the Medical Center, because there are a lot of physicians who are actually very good musicians but didn't have an outlet. And she conducts the musical group at the University of Maryland as well. So she's very active there, and of course she is executive secretary for Harrison Scholars, and she does a lot of writing and the newsletters and various things, and goes to all of the reading room openings and accompanies me at most places that I go. My wife and I actually love to play all kinds of games. We have a lot of fun together. You know, we also have another home in Florida, and we're getting to know a lot of people down there as well.
What is Johns Hopkins going to do?
Well, you know, fortunately, there was a time when I was pediatric neurosurgery. Now we have several pediatric neurosurgeons, extraordinarily good people. Dr. George Jallo, who will be taking over as the director of pediatric neurosurgery, is already world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon and perhaps the premier spinal tumor surgeon in the world today.
How close will you remain to Hopkins in any type of consulting position?
Well, I will be emeritus professor. I will still give lectures, so I'll be around. I also derive great joy from watching the kids grow up and watching their careers. And I have a granddaughter now and another one on the way. And I'm sure there'll be several more coming along the way. And this time around, I'll have time to play with them.
What's the first thing you're going to do once you hang the scrubs up?
The very first thing is not set my alarm clock. Sleep in.
But Ben Carson's future as a world-renowned neurosurgeon came very close to never happening.
I tried to stab another youngster when I was 14 with a large camping knife, and under his clothing he had on a large metal belt buckle, and the knife blade struck that with such force that it broke. And of course he fled in terror, but I was more horrified than he as I realized that I was trying to kill somebody over nothing.
Dr. Ben Carson recalling an incident over a boombox that almost changed his life's path at 14. But this poverty-stricken Detroit kid's problems with anger and ignorance started years before.
Well, you know, I was a terrible student. I thought I was stupid. Everybody else thought I was stupid, so there was unanimous agreement. But my mother didn't think I was stupid.
Sonia Carson, a single mom who worked two and three jobs cleaning houses to provide, figured out a way to motivate Ben and his brother, Curtis.
She noticed in the houses that she cleaned that those people didn't sit around watching TV all day, that they had a tendency to do a lot of reading and studying and strategizing. So after asking God to give her wisdom, she came home with the idea that that's what we were going to do. I was not happy. Everybody else was outside having a good time, and there I was reading books.
But after a few weeks, something changed. Ben started knowing things that his friends didn't.
I used to really admire the kids in class who always knew the answers. And I would be sitting here saying, how do they know that? How do they know so much stuff? I don't understand how they know all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, I knew the stuff. And I also knew how to spell. And I also understood grammar and syntax and knew how to express myself both verbally and in written form. And all of that began to translate into a much better academic performance, and I began to really change my opinion of who I was.
And from that point on, his outlook on life changed.
Poverty was really more of a choice than anything else, and I could change that. And it just really depended on how hard I wanted to work.
But back to that stabbing when Ben was 14. He ran home that day and locked himself in the bathroom.
I turned things around academically at that point. I was an A student. But I realized that with a temper like that, the likelihood of my being successful was very slim. And I just fell on my knees and I just prayed and I said, Lord, you got to help me. I can't control my temper. And there was a Bible. I picked it up and started reading. And there were all these verses about fools in the book of Proverbs. And as I read them, I said, wow, that sounds like me. I came to an understanding that to react, to lash out at people, to kick down the door, to punch someone in the face, was not a sign of strength, but rather a sign of weakness. It meant that you could easily be manipulated by other people and by the situation. But I also came to an understanding that I was a selfish person, because everything was about me. That's why I was always angry. Because somebody was in my space, somebody was taking my thing, somebody was doing something. And, you know, I said, you know, if you learn how to step outside the center of the circle and let it be about someone else, you're not going to be angry all the time. That was really the last day that I've ever had an angry outburst.
The Ben Carson story is told in the award-winning movie Gifted Hands. Cuba Gooding plays Ben Carson.
He did an excellent job. He actually came and studied me for a little while to try to figure out my mannerisms and the way I talked. He actually was a good study. But I went on the set in Detroit. He and the producers and everyone said, this is not a job for us. This is a mission.
Coming up, Dr. Carson Scholars.
Right from the beginning, the goal of the Carson Scholars Fund was to have a Carson Scholar in every school in the country.